Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anonymous, the podcast with board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
Hey, this is Anthony.
And this is episode 509, the most anticipated games of 2025. We'd like to thank all our Patreon backers for helping us bring you a brand new episode. Hello, friends. Welcome back. A new year, a new list of anticipated games for 2025. We're so glad that you have joined us, whether this is for the very first time or for all time. It's a good time for board games, Anthony.
It is a great time, yes. Last year was really, really strong for games. We had our Game of the Year episode just last week, so you can go back and listen to that. But there was a lot of really, really good games that came out in 2024. And before I put this list together, I was like, I don't know if 2025 is going to be up to snuff. But it turns out... it will be, because this is the biggest list we've ever put together.
Whoa.
So we have over 60 games and expansions that are coming out in 2025 that we know about. Again, caveat, sometimes they don't make it, but they're supposed to come out this year. and that's not including all the stuff that will get announced, like starting in July for the end of the year.
Sure.
Which is not even on this list yet. So it's a fun one. We do this every January. We use this list at the end of the year to look back on the year and see what came out and what was good and what wasn't. And it's a fun time to kind of look ahead at some of the stuff that we were already anticipating or we didn't even know existed, which there are a bunch of those on the list this year.
Yeah. You can go back to any year in the past and listen to old episodes where we do our anticipated games. They all happen at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you could laugh at us as we talk about games that we think are going to come out, think that are going to be awesome or are very questionable and then become amazing. So a fun time.
We had Madeira on this list for about 5 years.
And it's on the list again, people!
No, we gave up. Sorry, man, we gave up.
This could be the year, man.
It could be the year. There are a couple on this list that are like, LOL, maybe. Probably not.
So it's when you least expect it, Madeira is going to be shipping, and we'll be like, what?
She's going to show up on my doorstep covered in mold from some warehouse somewhere, like, yay! Ew.
Mold and seaweed and everything? Yeah. Still delivered.
Yeah. You got your game. Shut up now.
I think we should start building the podcast as like a crack team of gamers who will infiltrate these warehouses in China so we can get the game that's somewhere sitting before it disintegrates.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to start a new Patreon account. Help us get Majira out of those warehouses in China.
It's secret. Don't put your real name in.
No.
Yep.
We need a couple of specialized people with skills that, could hack, carry, and transport games over.
If you have a special set of skills and you know what kind of special set of skills we're talking about, give us a shout. Yeah.
You can't see it, but I'm winking. I'm winking on the podcast, Anthony.
Wink, wink.
Whoa, double wink.
Yes.
That's the wink.
Yeah, you got a double wink.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year. I'm just saying it out loud to make it happen.
You're gonna manifest it.
I'm manifesting it, brother. I'm using all my powers.
2025, somehow it's gonna happen. We don't know how, but it's gonna happen.
It, sometimes things get so bad that it just has to come back around.
That's true.
So here we are. But board gaming has been excellent. As you said, last year was fantastic. So many great games, designers, artists, writers, just publishers. We were blessed And this year's also going to be another great year, I think. We'll see. Looks good.
It's a good list. I'm looking forward to going through it.
All right. But Anthony, before we get into this fantastic list you put together, let's talk about what matters most. Our listeners. They did a thing. And somebody won a thing.
Yeah, somebody won a thing. We had, like I said, we had our awards last week. And for the first time, we had a Listener's Choice Award for each of the 10 awards that we gave out. And we ran a poll to do that. So from that poll, we chose a winner at random. So somebody who completed that survey and remembered to give us their email address.
These are key
if you're
things.
Listening to this and you're like, oh, no, you know who you are. Some of you forgot, but it's okay. But
mistakes were made.
SawyerWJ@gmail.com is our winner. So I'm going to reach out. You're going to win a game from our prize list, our super secret BGA prize list.
Is it Madeira?
Yeah, that would be mean. You win a copy of Madeira when it shows up. No, it's a real game. It exists in my house. But yeah, thanks to everybody who participated and made it possible for us to have a listener's choice this year. Looking forward to doing it again in the future. And having more contests.
Yeah, it's podcasts for you. It's funded by you, supported by you, and it is your voice. So please hit us up, talk to us. Love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, speaking of which, we have a great list for 2025, a lot of great games. And throughout the year, typically, we talk about these games when they come out, when they go hot, when they drop off the list. And we had a thought. And, you know, let's be honest. Nobody knows more about fantasy and drafting than tabletop gamers. So with the football season finally wrapping up, coming to an end, playoffs are about to hit, Super Bowl is going to happen, we thought we would do something a little bit different this year to bring all of you to the table for something that is bigger than ever before. So BGA for 2025 is proud to announce the BGA Fantasy Board Game Draft. What?
It needs to be louder. It definitely needs to be louder.
We'll do it in post.
Yeah, we'll do it in post. Back us on Patreon so we can buy a soundboard.
There you go. So what we want to be able to do, everyone probably has a general idea of fantasy football, whether you directly participated or know about it. And in that case, your general manager picking out teams and players in those teams, and you watch their progression throughout the year, see their performance, and then based upon their performance, you score points. We want to do the same exact thing for all of these great tabletop games that we're going to talk about on this episode. They're going to come out at some point, and they're going to go hot. Sometimes they'll stay hot. Sometimes they'll cool off. Sometimes they'll make a comeback because of weird reasons. We've all seen that happen before. But we're going to track their success, and then you out there are going to have an opportunity to join us to create a game company to pick these games for their successful potential. And then throughout the year, every month, we will mark and score their progress, and at the end of the year, someone's going to win, Anthony, the BGA Fantasy Board Game Draft. So we want you, as many of you as possible, to participate. Anthony's going to give us details about that, but spots are limited and the competition's going to be hot. So, and we're going to be working with BGG's hotness. So the whole idea here is to have the hottest games possible, burn up Kalexes as much as possible, and get the best collection. So strategy, drafting, knowing your games, anticipating, guessing, things we've been doing for years, you also get to do with us along the way.
Yes. Yeah. So the way this is going to work is we have 61 games that are on our list we're going to talk about today. All of these games are eligible for the draft because they haven't come out yet. So, and that's the key here. These are games that have not come out yet, so we don't know how popular they're going to be through release, if they're going to come out at all. And so how this will work is if you are a Patreon backer at any level, you are eligible to enter your team into the draft. There'll be a registration link that is in the Discord under a Patreon backer only channel. You can check that out. It'll be up by the time you hear this. You can register. You set up your team name, and that's pretty much it until we get the draft going. When we're ready to launch the draft, you are going to go through, take turns, depending on the number of teams, and pick games from this list based on how you think it's going to perform. Is it going to be, you know, on the hotness a bunch of months in a row? Do you think it's going to come out soon and has a chance to, like, show up multiple times? Do you think it'll come out towards the end of the year and just, like, light everything on fire? You choose. That's the whole point, right? You get to decide how it's going to work. Every month, we're going to go through and look at what games are on the hotness. That we're going to assign points based on their presence or lack thereof on the hotness. So if your game is in the hotness for 10 months out of the year, you will get 10 points during the year for that one game out of however many you have. So if we have 12 participants, for example, there'll be 5 games on your list. You could have up to 60 points. So it's a great opportunity to think about what you think is going to do well, why you think it might do well, so on and so forth. At this point, we're not going to, like, worry about the games that haven't been announced yet, just because we don't have the structure in place to do that, although we might come back to it like a midsummer update to everything. But at the moment is this list. The draft will be about 10 days from right now when this episode comes out. So if you want to sign up, do it soon. Again, if you're a Patreon backer at any level, you are eligible to do so. It's a $2 level or higher, and you can jump in and participate. So we look forward to seeing everybody there. It's going to be fun. And we will have a team as well, Chris and I. We will have our own picks in the draft. It's just part of the draft. We can't throw anything. It's just, you know, as the administrator on the account, we get to have a participation in the draft, and thought it'd be fun, and we can kind of compare notes against all y'all.
Can you beat PGA?
Right, yeah.
And Anthony, if you're not a Patreon backer, can you still join Patreon?
Yeah, please get in there. Check it out at patreon.com/BGA. And this is a new benefit for the year. Obviously, it'll be something up here front in January. We hope to do this again in the future and similar things like it. So this is kind of our trial of the system to see how it goes and who participates and how much more cool stuff we can add on to it. But you also get access to the Discord. Anybody can get on the Discord, but there are patron only channels on there as well. We have tournaments now that are running on Board Game Arena through the Discord by our community manager, Kelber. We have access to bonus episodes that go up every 2 weeks, including, you know, our top 10 list for the year, for example. Mine just went up. We also have, like, an after show that's coming up in the future. We're going to be talking about not just games, but all the other stuff we're watching and reading and listening to in the world. That's all accessible at different levels within the Patreon. So if you back there at any of the levels, whether you want to get all the bonus content, and again, you can go back and listen to all the old bonus content as well. There's like 75 or so episodes in there you can grab, as well as the ad-free feed for this podcast. So if you're listening to this right now on Spotify or any of your own podcast players, and you're like, I love these guys, but ads, you can head on over to Patreon. And again, it's $2 level or higher, no ads.
Excellent. So we want everyone to join us, patreon.com/BGA. Get in with the fun. And if you can't join us on patreon.com/BGA, as Anthony mentioned, we'll be talking about this every month. So you'll have an opportunity to follow along with us, pick your own teams, and see how they do over the year.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just participate. You could draft your own games and see how you do against everybody else. It just won't be necessarily announced on the website, on the podcast. But yeah, it should be fun. We're looking forward to it.
Yep. It's going to be a big competition. And it should be a good season of gaming.
I think so. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. Again, the most we've ever put on this list. And I think a lot of these are actually going to come out. So sometimes I build a list and I'm like, half of these aren't coming out. It's still good.
All right. Well, that said, it's going to be a great year. BGA Fantasy Board Game Draft. Looking forward to having you all join us. Looking forward to you all creating team businesses. And we'll let everybody know about how your team businesses go throughout the year. So we get to track, laugh, have fun, and challenge. All right, Anthony, with that said, we've been talking about this. Let's actually get into this. Let's talk about all of the games that can be drafted this season because they're so damn hot for 2025.
Yep, let's dig into it. So the way this works is I have a giant list. We've both opened all the various information that we've gathered about these games. I'm going to run through them. I'm going to say the game, and then we're both going to say what we think about it, based on where we think it's going to land, whether we're excited about it, if we think it's actually going to make it into the world to play. Some of these games were nominated by people on our Discord channel, so we'll call those out as well. So thank you to everybody on Discord who answered that question and helped us kind of build the list. So I think we got, that's probably the reason we got so many this year, is we crowdsourced it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, kicking it off. Number one here, The Anarchy. This is a new one from Garpill Games, designer Bobby Hill. And so it's got the Garpill look. It is about medieval England and English nobles being loyal to King Stephen and kind of just the craziness and chaos that happens in that time. It's based on Hadrian's Wall, which was mm-hmm. the sprawling Roland Wright, big, long, like 90-minute Roland Wright or Flippin' Wright.
From the same designer.
Same designer, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's that, but a new theme and probably new mechanics. So if you like that type of game, or if you liked that game, this is probably for you.
Yeah, it's good to see another historic game come out there. I think this is something that can play in a lot of places. It is a roll and write, so it's one of those bigger roll and writes like Hadrian's Wall.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming or hoping that it has maybe as much success. I don't know. Hadrian's Wall did pretty well for itself, so I think it might be a little bit in the spotlight, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't know. Hadrian's Wall is one of those games that I feel like it's kind of snuck in there, and I hear it a lot. People recommend it a lot. So in the solo space, I think it's pretty hot. All right, next up, also from Garpill Games, is the new one from Shem Phillips, Skara Brae. So this is about settlers in Neolithic Northern Scotland. So Garpill has like their main series, which usually come in trilogies based on like some section of their, you know, imaginary world that they built. But they also have standalone games that are based on historical periods of time. So you have things like Legacy of You or Ezra and Nehemiah or some of the other ones that came out more recently. Skara Brae is in that category, the standalone. And so it is a, you know, you're gathering resources, trying to chain things together. It's got a solo mode, like all those things are, you know, it looks like a Shem Phillips game. Mm-hmm. And it's, as many Shem Phillips games have become, it's looking more and more sprawling.
Yes.
I'm like hit or miss with these games anymore. Sure. When they hit, though, they hit really well. So I'm always interested.
I like the look of this. I think the production's pretty good. I think the artwork matches with the time period. Worker placement, obviously. But I like this civilization village tableau building here. So I think this might actually hit.
Yeah. All right. So both of those games also nominated or recommended by several people in our Discord channel. So thank you, everybody there.
People.
Wine Cellar is a re-implementation of Wine Cellared, which is a self-published game by Andrew Stiles, a two-player 18-card game. So one of those. And so this is kind of blown out. It's bigger, longer. You can play with up to 8 people. But it's still relatively small in scope overall. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It is about buying wine, trying to build the best possible collection of wine. So if you're a wine person and there's a lot of wine games, this is a new one to add to the list. It looks like an interesting take on the auction mechanism.
Sure.
And it's got artwork by Vincent Dutrait, which is always
very good.
Always good. So not really in my wheelhouse in terms of I don't collect wine and I don't want to, but I do love me a good auction game. So I would like to try it at least.
Yeah, this is very niche. This seems like something that was built to sell maybe in liquor stores, just because it doesn't seem to have like the same weight as far as the game's concerned. This is on the lighter side. So
yeah.
I think it'll be okay. I think it's going to get forgotten at some point, though.
Yeah, possibly. All right, next up we have the big new one from Vitalis Cerda. Vitalis Cerda gets a new game out every year, more or less, or an expansion. This year we're going to see Speakeasy, mm-hmm. which the campaign ran for in the fall of 2024. So this is the new Eagle Griffin big box, Vitalis Cerda, artwork by Ian O'Toole. It's about 1920s, running a speakeasy during the Prohibition era. Love everything about it visually. You know, inventions kind of caught me off guard a little bit just because Weather Machine let me down. And it looks to be a little bit on the lighter end for him, which is also great. As long as it's not, you know, escape plan light for me. At least. I did not back this. If only because I'm kind of on a budget and these games are so expensive.
Yes.
But I'm excited to try it out. And I'm sure I will know many people who did back it. So, and if it's good, then I might just go buy it anyways. Guess what I did with Inventions.
Yeah, I think the production's top notch. The artwork for Ian O'Toole could be above his, you know, with his best artwork, at least for the cover. I've played so many of these Prohibition games at this point, though, now.
Yeah.
So when this came up, I was like, oh, Ian O'Toole, Vitella Serta, and I'm Eagle Griffin, yay! And then I'm just like, oh, I don't. I've played so many. I just played so many of these. The theme just is not for me here. Right. I think it'll do well because I think the theme is certainly there for a lot of people, but I've kind of played this out a little bit.
Right. All right, next up we have a game that they had previews of at PAX, kind of took a quick look at it, but didn't have a chance to play it, and that is Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
New game from Reiner Knizia, coming from Mighty Boards. Beautiful looking game. Mm-hmm. Just a fantastic, you know, visually compelling take. It's a Knizia game, so it's little hexes, little things you're stacking on the hexes.
It's math.
It's a grid, but it's a pretty grid. So I'm all about it. It's a tiling game. It's kind of going back to like some of his earlier stuff. You know, if you look back at like Samurai or Yellow and Yangtze, or I guess the Tigris and Euphrates, which predates that. I'm excited. I like a good Reiner Knizia game. I like the theme here. I like the fact that it's not a rehash of another older game. It's something new. So building on what he's done. It's fantasy, but also not. So it's like a...
It's still a hardcore
near future type thing. Far future type thing.
Yeah. It looks good. I'm so glad that he's finally getting the production values and the art direction that his games deserve. This could hit. I don't know if this is the one that'll hit, because it still looks very abstracty kind of game, but could be the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. All right. Next up on the list, we have Nature. This is a re-implementation of Evolution, a game we played 1 million years ago at the dawn of BGA.
And this, also the dawn of Evolution.
The dawn of Evolution, yes. We played a prototype of that game. I feel like we mentioned that once a year.
We do. Just like, remember that time we got a prototype? Remember that actually happened?
Yeah, that was cool, right? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we were cool.
We felt special. And we all hated it, and we're like, this game isn't going to work, and now 10 years later, they're still making versions of Evolution.
Well, they fixed it, to be fair.
They did. They did.
We gave an honest criticism, and they were like, you're right, you fixed it.
Yeah. It's good. So it looks like they made the game a little more modular, so just kind of a more modern take on that system, which is cool. Artwork looks fantastic, so I don't know. I'm not a huge Evolution fan, but I like the modular take.
I like Evolution a lot. This seems to look a lot more pleasing for general audiences. I think the first Evolution and, you know, the ones that came after it were a little more early evolutionary periods. And this seems like, hey, this is the Nature you know and love. So this is kind of like right down the middle. This is probably eventually will find its way to big box stores.
Right.
I mean, if Ark Nova can do it, anybody could do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's Ark Nova, it's Earth, it's all the same. Mm-hmm. All right, we got Rise of Babel up next. This game was, I believe I saw copies of this floating around at PAX, so it's coming out pretty soon. Designed by Bedouin Games, and you are building a deck of cards and positioning various resource tiles on the Tower of Babel. So, you know, the classical Tower of Babel from biblical times. And I don't know, it's these biblical themed games, it's not that I don't want to play them, it's just they have fallen flat for me just mechanically. They're just like, look at the cool theme, and then the game's like, it's fine. But that said, it's kind of cool that you're building up a tower. I always like building up a tower, so like,
sure,
laying stuff on top of other stuff, building it up, even if it looks a little dry. You know, Teotihuacan is still one of my favorite games, and that's literally what you're doing. You're building a pyramid. So I dig it.
Yeah, on the lighter side of it.
Yeah, definitely lighter than that, but It looks interesting.
Yeah, I think I previewed this way back in the day, last year at some point. And it looks fine. I think that this had like multiple levels as far as production was concerned. and, you know, all fancy up with all the different layers and levels. And then like the base level is just like very flat cards, as you mentioned. Right. So you could go hardcore and get all the fancy stuff with the Kickstarter, or just kind of base level. I'm hoping it's more than just a gimmick.
Yeah, same. All right, next up is Revenant. We talked about this a few times. It is the thematic follow-up to my number one game, Voidfall. Mechanically, does not look to be really building too much on that. It's just kind of living in that universe. So, new designer here, Alan Kirkaby. Same artwork from Ian O'Toole. One of my favorite covers, period, of the last couple of years. I love this cover. And it's Mindclash, and I backed it. So when it comes, I will tell you all about it. it looks like a pretty, not standard fare, but not like super ridiculously complicated worker placement. I really like this world, and I like the look of it. You know, Tool doing space stuff just makes me happy.
Very cool. Yeah, no, looks out of this world. Is that too much? Did I do too much there?
Go with it, man. Just own it. It's good.
I mean, you know, Tool's artwork here is just next level, and it's, and I don't always love it, but I appreciate a little bit toned down here because there's so much on the board. But it's nice to see space, not just a black star field.
Yeah. Yeah.
So throw some color in there, people.
Yeah.
And a very cool cover.
So cool. Mm-hmm. So cool. All right. Next up, we have Baghdad, the City of Peace. This is a game from one of our favorite designers, Fabio Lopiano, working with Nestore Mangone. It's from Alley Cat Games. Now, Alley Cat Games does a lot of stuff. I like a lot of the games they make, but the design is off, like visual design is often kind of flat. This is that. It's pretty flat, especially after the last couple Lopiano games.
Sure.
Merv and Sankore, which were so beautiful with the Ian O'Toole artwork.
Yes.
This is like kind of in that same ballpark in terms of time. You know, it's, you know, golden age of Baghdad a couple thousand years ago. But instead of the beautiful artwork we had in those two games, we have it's fine, but it's not great. But mechanically, you know, Lopiano makes interesting games. They're generally a little bit quicker, although this one's on the longer end. And I don't know. I'm interested to see how this works. It's a rondel, worker placement, big, wide circle moving around the city. It's built in a grid, circular grid, and excited to see how it plays.
Yeah, I think this actually might do well. I think the roundness of the board really makes this game stand out. And, you know, it's got that cool rondel kind of action to it. So I'm interested.
All right. Next up, we have an interesting one. So Wolfgang Kramer made a game called Elf Achse back in 1987. Mm-hmm. this game came back out a million years ago. I believe it won the Spiel back in 1987. And so they're bringing it back in Ley Lines. So it's got Kramer, but also co-designed by Daryl Andrews and presumably updated. And it's Arcane Wonders publishing it. So in the game, you are going to be building out these Ley Lines. You have, like, it's economic fantasy versus the kind of trucking theme of the original, which is a cool spin. It's got very cartoony artwork, which may or may not work depending on how much you like that original trucking theme. I've never played that original game. I've never even seen it. So this looks interesting. It's probably on the lighter end just based on what I'm seeing of it so far. But yeah, I don't know. It's cool when we go back a really long time ago and update the game and make it work in an interesting way. I think Restoration has kind of opened that floodgate, and this is just another one coming out.
Yeah, no, this is really cute. And again, this is what 2.0 games should be. And hopefully it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next up is Transgalactica. And you know what? Our friend Daniela Tashini just cannot help himself. It's got to be a T game.
It's a T game, brother.
It's a T game, but like with DeVere now, it's like Borden Dice is like, we're done with the T games. He's like, fine, I'll take them somewhere else.
I'll take my giant T and take it elsewhere.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, as a result, we get the DeVere artwork, which DeVere's got a really cool, like, I don't love all their games, but I feel like aesthetically, they're each doing something interesting, right?
Yes.
But visually, they're always doing something interesting. It's a really cool cover. And it's Daniel Tashini, no co-designer on this one, so just them working on it. Worker placement and engine building, kind of sweet spot for Tashini. So I'm always interested in a new Tashini game. You put it in space, I'm in this. I'm assuming this will come out towards the end of the year if it's Devere. So probably, you know, around convention season. But I'll keep my eyes open on this one.
Yeah, ditto. I mean, he's done great. And again, the T's continue.
Right? That would be great. All right. Next up we have, and this is funny because I think the link I sent you is for a game from 8 years ago. It's not very good.
Yes. I was like, what?
It's Covenant, but there's an old Covenant, which looks terrible. This is a new Covenant, 2025, coming from Devere, designed by Herman Milan, who mm-hmm. also worked on Bitoku, which is the big one we've played, but a bunch of other games as well. Kingdom Defenders, Bamboo, Sabika. So this is the new one there, coming from Devere, presumably later this year as well. You are leading a dwarf clan to reclaim a mountain. And it's, you know, you say dwarf clan, it can mean anything. It's got very chibi-ish, like slightly more serious root-like art, which is kind of cool looking. I like the vibe here of the dwarves. So it is a... Don't really know too much more about it than that, thematically speaking, but hopefully it's not... It says 25 to 90 minutes, so hopefully it's a little bit lighter than, like, a Bitoku, which wasn't a heavy game, it was just a lot of game. I think Milan has some interesting ideas from a game design perspective, but the game was just, like, blah, too much. So hopefully this is less of that.
Yeah, I think they've settled into their... this size of games. Their White Castles, you know, so I think this works.
Yeah, I think this kind of fits that. Hopefully. All right, next up we have Sweetlands. This was another one that was recommended by a couple people on our Discord. We're excited about this. It is a big, heavy game. 100 to 200 minutes listed on Board Game Geek. Designed by Totsuko Chuo. I believe this is from Japan. And it is a game in which you're building a city made of confectionery things. So it's like a gingerbread city type of thing. It's not 100% clear what the theme is, but it's a big, sprawling, heavy Euro game, right? So, like, it came up in Discord, and people were like, I'm excited for this, but it might be too big and long for me. And I was like, ooh, what is that then? I like big and too long. 450 wooden tokens, 200 cards, bunch of unique characters. So I missed this one on the, I think it was on Kickstarter at some point. So, or maybe the Kickstarter hasn't run yet. I'm not 100% sure. No, yeah, the Kickstarter has run. They're late pledging right now. You can still back it, but I missed it. Looking forward to seeing that because I had not seen it before, and it's just a cool theme for something so heavy.
Yeah, I had seen Kickstarter, and like you said, I think the problem with their campaign was there wasn't enough information out there about
it.
But it looks amazing, and if it's that crunchy, I'm in.
Yeah. It's giving me, like, almost, not like thematic gameplay-wise, but like just volume of stuff-wise, like Coffee Trader vibes. Coffee Traders is a good game. I'd be cool if it was like that. But with candy.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, next up we have a new key game. Quayside. You are moving boats around in the harbor. If you are in the harbor side, or whatever this is called. It's designed by Richard Brees and David Turchi, and it is, I don't know how many games are in the Key series now, like 8 or 9, but this is a new one. So you get dice activation to direct boats, choose harbors, gain actions. So kind of worker placement-ish, and the Key series is always interesting.
Yeah, and I'm glad they brought it back, because it's been, we haven't had a solid Key game in quite some time.
It has been a while, yeah.
Yeah. It was just, there was always a Key game at the table, and then just, like, nothing.
Yeah.
And now they're back.
Yeah. All right, this next one is a game that we actually previewed at PAX, and we talked about a little bit, Propolis. It's about building out a bee kingdom. So it's designed by some of the designers behind the Point City, Point Galaxy, Point etc. games, coming from Flat Out Games. It looks cute. I like the artwork of it. Interesting thematically, like, so I'm actually excited to play this one.
Yeah, this thing seems like really colorful, really light, something that you'll definitely get to the table, and I think it's gonna pop.
Yeah,
I think this game's gonna make a real big impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was one that was on my list because we did have it at PAX, but I also had several people recommend it off the Discord, so thank you to everybody there.
Yeah, all about, and again, a very simple, complex, simple mechanic, but the strategy is very complex. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Australis is a game about discovering life as a sea turtle. You are the sea turtle traveling around off the coast of Australia. It's a kind of a smaller, lightweight game from Cosmos, as you'd expect from Cosmos. But it plays a sea turtle, and it almost looks like a children's game, but then it has enough layers baked into it that it feels like a good fit for like older kids, like 8, 9, 10, which I'm always on the lookout for. So I've seen a few previews of this lately, a new Leo Colavini game. Looks cute.
Very cute. I like it. Little turtle in there. Cosmos does a great job with these games, too.
Yeah.
And the boards and the action, again, everyone's crushing it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yep. This next one, I don't know what to think of, so I don't know. Do you have thoughts here?
You don't have a vantage point on this?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Thing.
It's Stegmeier, Stonemeyer Games. They are making a co-op game. Mm-hmm. Open world co-op adventure game, which is an interesting genre. But especially mm-hmm. so for Stegmeier, which is very systems focused in a lot of his games. I don't know. What do you think?
He takes big swings.
Yeah.
They do not always hit. They haven't hit for quite some time for me. I'm willing and happy to try because I think it makes a lot of sense as far as the game's concerned. But it's not a campaign game.
That is true.
So I'm happy about that. And, you know, I generally like the idea of this kind of concept. I don't know if it works yet, though, because we don't see much about it. But
right. Yeah. And like, I am a little worried about imbalanced co-op because that's not fun.
Yeah. Not yeah.
Fun. You just lose or you win. Either way, it's not fun. It needs to be really well balanced.
Yeah, I think we've now matured to a point where co-ops need to have some significant scaffolding for them to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give people an experience, good or bad. Like, you want them to have like a significant good experience. Whether or not they win is a different story, but
right.
Instead of like, you jump in with six people, you drag six people to the table, and bad. And you're just like, okay, we're done. Never playing this game again.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Like, I don't even know what to think anymore. I used to be like, oh, I'm excited. It's new Stonemeyer. And like, now it's like, maybe. All right. Another big one here that's never coming out, but I put it on the list because it's funny. Stellaris Infinite
Legacy. It could happen.
It could. I think their most recent update on Kickstarter was like, hey, we have some cards that we had proofread. Like, okay, cool. We're on track then. They do keep showing this off at conventions. We've seen it floating around. They are demoing things from it, but they're like 4 years overdue on delivering this, so who knows.
Yeah, it's gonna be on the same ship as Madeira. Place your bet, see which one gets here first.
Right. At least this one's even still in development. Madeira was at least produced.
Maybe. Yeah, this has always hurt me here, because when this I backed a lot of, you know, crowdfunding campaigns. And obviously seen a lot other ones where I didn't back. This is the one where it was like, you know, literally the finger over the button. Just be like, huh?
Yeah.
Because again, what this promised is amazing. And what's based on, amazing. And Academy Games, amazing. And yet the campaign was just like, had very little, if anything, at all to it.
Yeah.
And every time they bring something out of the convention, you're like, oh, this is going to happen. And then just another year later. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's bad. I feel bad about this.
Yeah. Me too, like, because I like them as people, and I feel bad that they're having this problem, even though, like, it was an avoidable problem, and they took a lot of people's money, so that does suck, too, but...
Sure.
It's a shame.
It's a shame, too, because by the time this does come out, there'll be 12 versions of Twilight Imperium at that point.
I know.
Twilight Imperium will have another... Here's my prediction for, you know, for the near future. Twilight Imperium will have Twilight Imperium 5th edition before Stellaris comes out. Just saying.
I could see that.
Yep.
I hope not, but I could see it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Moving on to another big, big game that will come out because people have seen it and played it. Is the Elder Scrolls Betrayal of the Second Era. This is the Chip Theory game spin on the Elder Scrolls. It's a big, big game. It's going to be big, old, expensive. The chips and everything. It's Elder Scrolls. The thing's going to be a behemoth. I don't think anything about this is for me personally. That doesn't mean I don't think it'll be great. I wasn't a huge fan of the base Chip Theory games as a whole, Hoplomachus or any of the other games. But Elder Scrolls, big fancy components, fantastic approach to adventure gaming. I think a lot of people are going to be super excited about this.
Yeah, I agree. And this could be the hotness of the year, at least early, because, again, the production here alone and the history of this, we've talked about a lot of games where, like, the IP back in the past was just kind of like something that was pasted on. Mm-hmm. This seems like something that fits really well with Chip Theory games. And they could really just... This could be the game that pops for them more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. I think it will, yeah. I mean, unless it's $400, and then maybe not.
It's always $400 with them.
We'll see. Chicago 68. This was on Kickstarter earlier last year, and did not do huge numbers, but it just looks really fascinating to me from a mechanical perspective. It's about the convention riots of 1968. I think it was up on Kickstarter around the time of the conventions here this last year. And I don't know, I like historical games. I like ones that approach things that are a little problematic, not problematic, but like challenging from either perspective, and just evaluating and gamifying what those things look like and how you interact with one another. So I don't know if it'll be any good. It's a first-time designer, Yoni Goldstein. The Dietz Foundation has done a lot of games, but a lot of them are like that serious game approach.
Sure.
So that's what this is. But I don't know. Something about it caught my attention. I'm excited to get it.
Yeah, no, I think, again, this is great theming, something we haven't had before. I think it's essential for historical context so people can kind of like understand the conflict and how and why we should be involved. And it actually looks like it can be, have not played it, have not previewed it, but it actually could be, in fact, an actual game to play.
Yeah. <We'll see. laughs> Very possible. All right, next up, Cyberpunk 2077. Kind of on the flip end of that. This is based on the video game. So Cyberpunk, obviously, is a tabletop role-playing game universe. It's been around for a long time. Video game was based on that tabletop RPG world, and now we have a board game based on that video game based on that tabletop RPG world. You know, this is how things go.
Sure.
It's being published by Onboard along with CD Projekt Red, which is the developer. This was on GameFound and made like $10 million. So, lots of money. Lots of people are going to get this game. A lot of people are going to say they love it. We won't know if it's actually any good. So, because a lot of people spend a lot of money on it. It's cooperative, tactical. I'm not sure how that works out, but it's a cool universe. I always thought the Cyberpunk universe was cool. Night City is an interesting world to explore.
Sure.
But the video game was broken in a lot of ways when it came out, and then they fixed it. Hopefully the board game is not. And I don't know. Just visually compelling, interesting world, lots of cool different ways you kind of approach it. It's, you know, it's dudes running around on a board, but sometimes that can be really fun.
Yeah, definitely, especially in that kind of universe.
Hands in the Sea, I talked about this a little while ago. This is an update visually to a really fantastic deck-building type of a war game. Two-player only was on GameFound not too recently, maybe a month or two ago, and it just looks very pretty. So I'm excited for the new Phalanx edition of this. I think it'll be just a solid addition to the two-player shelf in my house that is way too big.
Very good. Yeah.
Another one here that I spent money on and shouldn't have, DC Superheroes United. Too many of these stupid things. I don't know why I keep doing this. But hey, it's United. It's now it's DC. It's, we know what this is. It's, you know, Chibi Batman. That's what it is.
That's all it is, man.
I love the chibis, though, man. I was painting a chibi Groot last night. It's so fun.
Aww.
It's cute.
I am chibi?
Yeah.
Very cute.
All right. Next up, Galactic Cruise, this game that we've been seeing around at conventions for like 3 years.
Follows us.
Two, 3 years?
Sure.
The campaign ran in 2024. They're supposed to ship next year. So as long as they are on time, we will see this game finally next year.
Mm-hmm.
Unotool artwork, big sprawling box, big heavy game. Has all the pieces to be an interesting thing. Doesn't mean it will be good. We don't know. You know, we had Pampero last year, which was like, let's follow the Vitala Cerda formula. It didn't quite work. What that game wasn't quite up to the level that people were looking for. But Galactic Cruise, it just has a cool vibe to it, aesthetically speaking. And mechanically, you know, nice sprawling thing. So I hope it's good. I want this game to be good.
Yes, I think the people who played it, who I've spoken to, are like heavy.
Yeah,
this is heavy. This is pretty heavy.
Absolutely.
It's like a four on BGG.
It's very it's like a 3.99 or something.
Yeah,
right up there. All right. Next up, we have Stupor Mundi. This was the new Nestori Magone game that was on GameFound last year. It's also on Board Game Arena, right?
Yeah.
So you can play this. You're building little castles, your little walls, building little castles, doing your little thing. It's Quinid Games, which they make visually compelling presentations. I think this game found a version. I can't remember exactly who did that, but it is coming soon-ish. And I don't know, these like euros through the crowdfunding is always interesting because you get, you know, the core gameplay is it is what it is. Maybe there's some extra expansion stuff thrown on there, but you just get a really pretty version of it.
So, yes.
And I think in this case, it makes sense because of the 3D element of the game.
It was very pretty. It was very hard not to pick up immediately.
Right. Yeah. Same. next up is Luthier, another very pretty, very large, very expensive game. This was on Kickstarter earlier this last year. Paverson Games, who did Distilled, and it had artwork from Vincent Dutrot and Guillermo Tarvanier. Apologies both y'all. Beautiful game, most expensive version of it had a bunch of ridiculous big stuff, like you want a miniature violin, great, first player marker, you want this crazy stuff, cool, you got it. But it's a very cool theme, it's a very beautiful layout. We've seen this at conventions a few times, and I struggled not to back this. I think the price kept me away, so thank you guys for overpricing it, because
it's true,
I had a budget,
same here,
but I look forward to playing it.
Yeah, it should be a big hit when it gets out.
Yeah. Fellowship of the Ring trick-taking game. This was the hot game at PAX. Asmodee had it. They only had a few hundred copies. They sold them very quickly. It's coming out very soon, like in the next 2-3 weeks. So if you're joining the draft, there's some good early points for you. This one will be on the hotness soon. Might even already be on there. But yeah, it looks really good. It's the stained glass artwork alone is like, I don't even care if the game was good. I would just buy it for the cards. It's very pretty looking.
Yeah, it was hot at the convention. It's probably the hottest game at the convention.
Yeah. And hopefully the game stands up to it. The ratings so far are great. Got solo mode, which I don't know how that works in trick-taking games. But I mean, I've played some solo trick-takers, but you know, we'll see. World Order. This is the follow-up to Hegemony, which I know is your number one game. So I didn't back this, but I don't know where you landed on it.
I didn't back this. Hegemony is still hitting the table hard and has not gotten enough play yet, just because you could play all the four different factions and they will play differently. So I have to play that out first before I get to this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I look forward to trying it for sure, but I also want to play Hegemony more, which I have not played it enough. So
yeah, this seems to be a slimmed down, different game, kind of like what we were talking about before with Voidfall. Mm-hmm. And Revenant, so seems to be the way that they're going these days. But once I play, you know, hopefully I get a chance to play this, I'll probably pick it up at later stage.
Okay. Molly House. This one is from Whirligig Games. Joe Kelly designed it as part of the Zenobia Awards. Cole Whirly doing development on that. This is a game about the queer community in the 18th century, or at least the 18th century in London. So just interesting thematically, something unique and different, but also exploring a time in history that is just not discussed or assessed very often. And I think that's a really cool thing that games can do that other mediums can do, but like often are not able to dig into and make you feel things in the same way. So I'm really excited to see this one come out. It's, again, been at the last few conventions. It's very close to release. Worldly Good Games does a really good job in development, making sure things are solid, well-researched, well-developed. They have a good look. Yeah, it'll be a good one.
It's very fancy, and it might have that kind of obsession appeal.
Yeah.
Where it's so different, unique, and classy that people just might be like, let me pick this up. Oh, it's a great game. And then it blows up that way, too.
Right. All right, next up we have The Witcher Path of Destiny. This was a big old box of stuff that was up on GameFound. So, you know,
did they get your quote for their crowdfunding?
Big old box of stuff.
It's a big old box of stuff. People like, Anthony Chatfield said that? Oh, I gotta pick it up now, bro.
And somebody messaged me the other day. It's like, you don't like the miniature games, right? And I'm like, I love miniature games. They're like, you're always talking games. About how they're just big boxes of stuff. And I'm like, that's not an inherently bad thing, unless the box of stuff is bad stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I talked about Drama's Edge as a glorified, worker placement game, which it is, and it's still awesome. Like, I don't, just thing. Things can be things.
Yeah, it's cool, exactly. It doesn't have to be things. The best thing. It's just a thing, and it's a fine thing.
Look, whatever thing you are, be the best thing.
Yes.
We support that. Like, just go for it. Why not?
All right, Witcher Path of Destiny. I guess that's all we have to say about that. But, you know, if you like The Witcher, it looked cool. And you probably like it if you like The Witcher.
Your review is good. My review, it's a thing. It does a thing. Go for it.
That's Chris's review. good times. All right, next up, Panda Spin.
Why not?
Yeah, it's a new Carl Chudik design. So that's why it makes the list, you know.
Oh, of course.
Famously the designer of Glory to Rome and Innovation. Not a whole lot else, but it's a new one from him.
Yeah, no, again, always great to see his designs out there and always surprising. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. We have Snow Planner, designed by Akashi. This is a pretty sizable looking, again, like... And I don't know why this is what happens in my head. I see a game that's coming from a Japanese designer. I'm like, oh, it's probably small, like a trick-taking game or a dice game. Then no, like similar to Sweetlands, like this is a decent size midweight.
Sure.
You are, running a ski chalet. Everything is very blue and white. Digging it, like a ski mountain. It's contract completion and dice management, dice placement. So looks cool. I like the flat artwork. And I had not seen this before. It's something kind of new. It popped up on the radar when I was looking at stuff for this list. And I was like, this looks cool.
It's got a very interesting... It reminds me of Between Two Cities, at least the artwork, when it first came out. It's got that kind of like modern, sleek, no frills kind of look to it.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Next up here, we have Aridia, The Paths We Dare Tread. It's designed by Cody Miller, who had done Zaya. That's right, folks. We put the Zaya guy on the list.
You can't get away from it. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, it's got to be there. But this one popped up in Discord like more than once. Multiple people said, I'm excited for Aridia. It's an open world campaign type of game. You're exploring things. It looks like it's almost like Zaya, but fantasy. That might be a little too reductive, but I don't know.
Are you ready for it yet?
Are you ready for it? I just, it's again, this looks very cool. And I feel like 10 years ago, this would have been like so up my alley. And I would have definitely backed this and been excited for it. I'm just kind of done with like co-op campaign type stuff, open world stuff. And there's then you so say it's from it. The Zaya guy. And I'm like, that game everybody loves that I can't handle. But yeah.
Sorry, Cody.
If for the fantasy purposes, honestly, this is probably a good one to draft. It'll probably be up there for a while. all right, next up we have The Last of Us. This is a reimplementation of Escape the Dark Castle and Escape the Dark Sector. It's kind of black and white survival games.
Super cool looking.
Very cool aesthetic. I think it's perfect for The Last of Us because it's such a stark... dark black and white world that they're in,
and you don't have to paint the miniatures.
You don't. That's crazy. Well, then I have no reason to buy this, so I'm out. If I don't think I can someday paint them, why would I pay for them?
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding. I think it looks really cool. You could definitely could make a good game out of this IP. It's very story driven, so I'm interested to see what they do with it. If it's just another adventure co-op game, I just talked about those, but at the same time, if you do something interesting and unique, or you build on the story in an interesting way, I'd be excited for that.
Yeah, it has very The Last of Us look to it.
Right. Yes. All right. Next up, we have Elden Ring, the board game. Now, I put this on the list because I saw it that it had been backed as a crowdfunding campaign last year, year before. People were excited about it. It's Steamforged Games, which I know people have issues with. And then when I opened it up today, I was like, it has a 4.0 as a game that has not released yet. It's supposed to ship in March. I'm like, well, what's going on here? Why is everybody so mad at this game? I imagine it's a lot of production issues. So it's, I don't know. Steamforge has a lot of issues. I don't know why people keep giving them all their money, I guess. I don't know, because they just keep having these problems. But it's, you know,
yeah.
Here we have it. Elden Ring's an amazing game. They did Dark Souls before it came out, and people had mixed feelings about it, but it exists. You can buy all the stuff for it.
Sure.
So I will be interested to see how this plays once it gets to the table. Alrighty, folks, we are back. If you're noticing a dip or change in the audio quality, it's because we had to switch our recording platforms. It's a little bit of an issue, so it's not your ears, it's us. We are on to the next on the list, though, Galileo Galilei. This is a game that immediately popped for me when it first came up. I was very excited about it. Just the look of it, the feel of it, just the Galileo in general is a cool theme for a game. You know, we have a lot of games recently about Darwin. Why not some other scientists get in the mix? Beautiful cover with the various planets in the solar system. And then I found out, designed by Tomas Holick, who is the designer of SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is a game I've gotten really excited about and playing a lot lately. Honestly, if this game had come out a little earlier in the year and we'd have more chance to play it, I'm pretty sure it would have been higher, both on my personal list, but probably I would have pushed for it more in our end of the year awards as well. So Galileo Galilei, super excited for this one.
Yeah, I did a preview of this early last year. I'm really loving the aesthetic here. Love the science. Looks to be a great game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next up on the list, we have Coming of Age. This is a bit of a shorter game, kind of a life simulator type of theme, at least. I don't know how the game kind of runs through that, but it's Danny Garcia.
Yay!
Yeah, right? We've talked a lot about Danny's games of late because we've got Windmill Valley, Barcelona, which I just played again the other night for the first time in a little while. I was like, oh, right, this game's amazing. Danny Garcia has become one of those designers who just look for new stuff, and this is new stuff. So excited for this one.
Same here. Big fan. Looking forward to it.
We have up next The Treasure Ship of Zheng He. This is about managing this ship on this seven voyages. It's kind of this classical Chinese theme. Designed by Hisashi Hayashi, so it's a bit longer, heavier of a game. Hayashi generally made a lot of smaller, more accessible games, things like Metro X, Sail to India, Trains, recently Bomb Busters, another game that worked on.
Yeah.
But Yokohama is kind of an all-timer and is one of the bigger games that they've worked on, so this is in that vein, at least in terms of size, length, complexity. So excited to see what this is.
Same here.
Fromaggio for Ben Rossett is a standalone expansion to Fromage, which I know you talked about recently. I've not played either. I just really like the way they look. The covers are cool looking.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So who knows? I don't know if it's any good, but this designer worked on Between Two Cities. They worked on Brewcrafters. They worked on Search for Planet X. So a lot of really good games and all about cheese making. So why not add to our wine collection, our cheese games? The House of Fado, or just House of Fado, sorry, is a light game, kind of pulling on mechanics from Vital Lacerda's games, working with João Quintela Martins. So this is an Equal Griffin game. It's kind of a lighter, smaller Lacerda. It's not like one of the big sprawling boxes. It's a 2.7-ish weight. So kind of in that ballpark along with Lacerda's other kind of midweight game pulling a mechanic from Lisboa, Mercado de Lisboa. So this we've seen this before. That game didn't quite hit with me, but I'm always up for like just seeing Lacerda play with mechanics and trying new things with what they've done before, in whatever form it is.
Yeah, if this is really Lacerda doing this and not just like just in name only, it'll be great.
Yeah, well, that's always the question, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's got Lacerda mechanics, so they put his name on the box.
Yeah, so that's really what bums me out. It looks fantastic. Like, if this is Lacerda game, but smaller, like, if he was able to do that kind of focus in here, then it's going to be one of the best. Because, again, just the look and the theme and everything, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hope so. All right, next up we have Knights of the Round Table. Now, this is... The reason this popped up here is, A, it's coming from Crafty Games. Crafty Games has done some interesting stuff lately with Tabriz, in the past, Mistborn. But also, Johnny Pack, the designer, recently worked on one of your favorite games of last year, Unconscious Mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, also has worked on Merchant's Cove, Sierra West, Coloma, some good stuff. So we're getting a game about the Knights of the Round Table, and it's looks like a decent chunk of game, but it's also got some other interesting mechanics mixed in that I don't really know what to expect. So there's a 3D castle, a big sprawling board, a bunch of fancy stuff. So probably a big expensive Kickstarter campaign or a GameFound campaign. We can expect that. But mechanically, I don't know what we're getting. I think a lot of King Arthur games, Arthurian Knights games, tend to be, I don't know, they always tend to go in a very specific direction, right? You're like, oh, Stefan Feld made a Arthurian Legends game. It's a roll and move. Okay. I like it still, but I really wish it was like his other games, you know? Or it's a storytelling game. That's cool. That fits. But can I just get like a big, strong Euro, you know? So maybe that's this.
It has its mechanics labeled, its worker placement, I cut, you choose, which is always cool. Variable player powers, so maybe. I love the artwork here by Dan May.
Yeah, it's cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
So I will definitely be tracking this down. I love this theme. All right, next up we have a game that was recommended from our Discord channel. I had not actually heard of this, but several people are like, it's big, it's long, it looks great. I'm like, okay, cool. Tycoon India 1981. So this is India kind of building up its industry in the 1980s. So kind of following the decades of challenge that followed independence and kind of building out the company. And now we have, you know, how everything industrialized and modernized in the last 40, 50 years. So it looks interesting. I know it was a crowdfunded campaign. So a lot of people kind of got in on that. It's something that kind of passed me by at the time, but digging into it more after having, you know, getting recommended to take a look at it, I'm interested to see how this plays.
Same. Looks big. Looks crunchy. Looks fun.
Yeah. We have, this was an interesting one. I don't know what you think of this. La Patisserie Rococo. Mm-hmm. I'm probably saying that second word wrong, but, you know, again, not a speaker of French, so apologies. This is, so they got the Rococo name on there, but it does say re-implementing Cookie Champion, right?
Why?
Which is a game that, I don't even know if it officially ever came out. Same designers, Luis and Stefan Mulls, who worked on Rococo.
They did.
This is, I don't know what this is. What is this? Do you know what this is?
I don't want to say, I'm hoping it's just not trying to cash in on how fantastic Rococo is.
Yeah.
The designers are great, so maybe.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's a supposedly taking the deck building mechanism of Rococo, but then mm-hmm. making it shorter. And I don't sure. know. I don't. That sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. We'll see. So, and this again came from the Discord. So thank you to our backers there for recommending that one.
Absolutely.
All right. So those are all the new games. And, you know, there's going to be many, many more that are announced throughout the year. They'll come out, especially in the second half of the year when we get to Essen time. A lot of new games will be announced. But this is kind of our starting list at this point in the year. Now, we have a secondary list that we kind of addend to this that we kind of rapid fire through, because these are often things we've already talked about or we don't have a lot of info on, depending on where we're at in the hype cycle. But we have expansions and 2.0 releases or re-releases. So like updates, new versions, etc. There's a bunch of these coming up. Not surprising, because that's kind of the way the industry is moving. So let's power through them. Clans of Caledonia Industria. Bunch of new stuff, sideboard, new ways to play Caledonia. I backed this. Very excited.
I think it'll be hot, but it's a pass for me.
All right. We have Roots, the Homeland expansion. So new expansion after they said there were no more expansions. So
gotcha.
Why not? Let's keep adding stuff. The designer is listed as Joshua Yearsley, so I guess Cole Worley is done with expansions, maybe. But I love me some Root. I did back this. I don't know if I'll ever play with these, because at this point I'm kind of behind by a full expansion, but new stuff.
Sure. Why not?
Today it makes the money. Get my money.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. And I finally got my bird plushie, so I'm happy about that. Kemet, Rise of the Gods. New content for Kemet. Bunch of new modules added to the game. Six-player mode, solo mode, two new tile colors, bunch of new pieces and stuff, amber and amethyst stuff going in there. Said Kemet's amazing, so I was like, sure, more, but also I don't know if I need more. But I'm getting it, because I backed it.
Ditto. There you go.
Food Chain Magnet Special Edition. No new content here. And they've very specifically said this. It's the same game, but bigger, fancier, shinier. Kind of losing a little bit of the spirit of the original, but definitely a deluxe version if that's what you want. All the stuff in one box if you want as well. So this should be shipping soon. This was on GameFound early last year, so should be shipping, in the next 4 to 6 months.
I love the fact that they say you could pay in installments. That's when you know The game's got a little too expensive.
I know, yeah. You want to do an installment plan? You'll lay away for your board game.
Jeez.
It's not a car. All right, The Queen's Dilemma. This is I played The King's Dilemma back with some friends in Pittsburgh. We did not quite finish it because we were in the middle of it when COVID struck. But we loved it. Fantastic game. Just a really interesting take on negotiation and then arguing. It was like a tabletop RPG where all you were doing is fighting, arguing with each other. But in a fun way. This is a new version of that. And I'm excited. So, I don't know that I have a group to play it with, so I have not pre-ordered it, but if I ever find a group, I will be playing this.
Very nice, very nice.
Above and Below Haunted, new one. Ooh. From Ryan Lockett. So above and below formula, except now you are exploring some caves and in a haunted marshland where you're trying to build a village. Looks cool. These story-driven games from Lockett never really struck with me, but the above and below formula always looked cool, even if it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, the above and below ones are the ones I liked best.
Yeah.
Worker placement ones, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks cool. Mm-hmm. Cyclades Legendary Edition. What do you think of this one?
Super fancy, man. It's got all the fanciness to it.
Yeah. I know this is a game that was big for you, at least back in the day. I never clicked with this as much, but I want to, because I love Greek myth.
It's very cool. I'm glad to see it back out here again. Didn't back it because I have all the other stuff from the first. And it required all the monies plus one.
So much monies.
Yeah.
So much monies.
And they wouldn't let me pay in installment plans.
Oh my gosh. They have to know. It's so much money.
They did have donated a kidney plan, but I already gave one for the United.
Marvel complex. United. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need at least one, guys.
I need one. Stop producing this United stuff.
All right, Santorini Pantheon Edition. This is like the big, fancy, ridiculous, over-the-top version of Santorini.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I love Santorini. I think it's a cool game. I don't think you need any of this. You can just buy the $20 version at Target and it works, but if you really like the game, you might as well.
I agree, yes, exactly.
Gloomhaven Second Edition, they're working on it. I know there's some concerns around, shipping and tariffs and all that good stuff, but it is in production and on its way. A lot of people back this. Not for me. I know not for us in general, because we kind of generally bounced off Gloomhaven, but a lot of people looking forward to the updated version of this.
Why is my question.
Only why if you've already played it, right? If you're like, if you've played through all of Gloomhaven, yeah, there's no way it's different enough to need to play it again.
I played through a lot of it, but I'm also asking why, because you have Frosthaven, which is supposedly better. So
yeah, I think part of the big thing with this is that the miniatures are coming along with it, or sure, close to it. So all people right, are excited about that. But
I give you that.
Yeah, it's a lot of miniatures. So much money. Everdell Duo, two-player only version. I guess they have a solo version, which is crazy, but the two-player version of Everdell, they had it at PAX. I did not pick this up. My daughter was like, no, we have the other Everdell. I'm like, you're right, we do have like four versions of Everdell at home. We don't need Everdell
home.
Legit, like, we have the full one, we have Far Shore, and we have whatever the one was for families, the lighter one.
Sure.
She's like, we don't need another one, right? I'm like, good call, Abby. Good for saving me money. So yeah, Everdell Duo. If you're looking for a two-player version, here you go.
Sounds good.
Nemesis Retaliation. People are very excited about this. You know, I don't think either one of us has really gotten into Nemesis, right?
I sort of played once, and people were like, hey. And then it became the biggest game of all time, and I did not get a chance to play it, so...
Mm.
And I don't think I will, considering I think the last campaign was like $900.
So much money.
Yeah, like $960. Yeah, all the stuff, like $960.
Yeah. And I think this is what this is from that campaign, and mm-hmm. it's shipping soon, and people are excited about it. It's like the big one. The
very cool.
Third big box. It's the biggest one. I'm excited for all of you. If you have a copy and you want to teach it to me, I would love to play it. But I'm never going to buy it because of all what you said. So
yeah.
It's one of those games. Like if we're at a convention and people are like, we have a spot for Nemesis, I'm like, yes, I definitely want to try that once. this one here, exciting to me, and I didn't back it just because of money, but Unmatched Adventures, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Unmatched Adventures looked really cool, but it was kind of a bland, generic theme. It's
sure.
You know, and Unmatched itself is a reimplementation of Star Wars Epic Duels, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ninja Turtles, and you get minis of Ninja Turtles, and I was just like, why am I not giving you my money? But then I just didn't do it, so I'll probably end up picking this up down the line anyways, because that's what I do. But it looks cool.
I saw the Marvel version of this at Barnes and Noble. Was on sale, like $15.
So yeah, there we go. I'll wait.
Yeah, I think they're getting to the point where they're just mass producing for IP sake, and it's getting out to stores that are not game stores necessarily. So yeah, I think you'll see this on sale at some point.
I will play it someday, or buy it and look at the miniatures. Either way, it's happening.
Or both.
Both, probably. all right, next up, Windmill Valley Blooming Sails. So they've already announced an expansion for Windmill Valley, which was one of my top 10 games of last year. Check out that list up on the website this week if you want to see my top 10 games. So yeah, it's adding more shipping elements to Windmill Valley, which has a very small shipping component, like exporting the tulips. Now it's a bigger part of the game.
Yeah, and I know some people had some challenges with the original base game, and this hopefully will punch it up a little bit.
Yeah. All right, next up is a game that probably won't come out this year, but I really wanted to mention it because I think it's cool, is another new version of Colosseum. So Colosseum is a game that we've talked about a bunch. There's been two versions of it, one from Days of Wonder that's beautiful, one from Tasty Minstrel that is decidedly not beautiful. Both of those are out of print now, so it's just hard to find the game in general. This is another new version from Fantasia Games, the producer of Unconscious Mind, so we know they make really quality production.
Yes.
And it's Ian O'Toole.
He's coming in.
Colosseum with Ian O'Toole. So I'm excited for that. They made some changes to the game, too. There's new stuff. I don't know. I just like, finally, a very pretty version of this game that I could actually get and play, hopefully. I'm excited because I always liked this game. I could never find a copy. Did not want the Tasty Minstrel version, and this looks beautiful.
Yeah, I think they moved away from the roll and move to more of a worker placement.
Oh, see, that's cool, too. Mm-hmm. I dig that. All right. Next up, we have three recommendations from the Discord. First up, Pax Perfuriana Ultimate Edition. So this is a reimplementation of Pax Perfuriana, which is a game that came out in 2012. Now with the Ultimate Edition, which just has all the stuff kind of baked into it. It's one of those games I've heard a bunch and I've talked to people about and I've read about. I've never actually gotten a chance to sit down and play it.
Same.
Great Western Trail El Paso is another reimplementation of Great Western Trail, because
like the 15th version of it.
Can't have enough. So it's coming from Lookout Games, though, which is interesting. I guess it got moved to a different publisher. And it's another designer working on Alexander Pfister's formula. So it might be a significant shift in how the game works. But at the end of the day, you're a cowboy rustling cattle, because that's what the game is.
So. Small game, also solo mode. So,
Yes. And then last but not least, we have Nippon Zaibatsu. This is another one that I don't think we'll probably get this year because we're waiting on the crowdfunding campaign for it.
Sure.
Nippon is a game that I've had for a while. It's super out of print. It's hard to find. It was What's Your Game, which, as we discussed earlier, no longer exists because they took all our money and didn't make Madeira.
Madeira!
But the designers of that game, Nuno Bizarro Centeiro and Paulo Soledade, made Nippon as well. And it's a fantastic game about the industrialization of Japan. So like late 19th century, Meiji era industrialization. Zaibatsu is a new edition of that, adding additional elements to it. So, and just with beautiful new artwork and kind of updated in a lot of different ways. That original version is definitely of its time, just in terms of production quality. So, I'm excited. I don't know if it'll add enough different stuff that I need a new version of it, but I'm excited more people can get it because it is a very good game.
Excellent. Yeah, I played this a bunch back in the day.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I think it's on Board Game Arena.
Oh, is it?
If it's not, it's on something. I've played this online.
So. Yeah, it's been out for a while. At least the original version of it.
All right, folks, that is it. That's 61 games. Thank you for bearing with us in the little audio shift. But stay tuned. If you are interested in the draft, you can draft from these 61 games and make your little portfolio for the year and see how you perform.
Absolutely. We want you as part of the team and, you know, do your best to beat BGA. That would be a lot of fun to have you there in the competition. Join us on patreon.com/BGA. Obviously, all of our social medias are out there, so you'll all have a chance to engage and play along with us as the season goes on. And we have some new and exciting things upcoming, so check in for the next episode and see how we can get you more to the table. Until next time, this is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
We'll save you all a seat at the table. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.